But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast of the Mother of Good Counsel. You see, we have her picture in the back in the cry room. Very wonderful devotion, and a very powerful one at that. And we're fast approaching the month of May, which is traditionally the month of Our Lady. And I thought I would give a sermon today. I wanted to give one on St. Joseph, but I changed at the last minute to give one on the importance of devotion to Mary, a subject which really cannot be preached about too much because of its importance in our spiritual life, really because of its importance for our salvation. You might say that our salvation is tied up with devotion to Mary. But first, a story, a true story. History tells us of the cruelty of Muhammad II. He was the Turkish emperor who caused so much panic and fear in Europe throughout the 15th century. Well, among other things that he did, history relates how this emperor kept reserved part of his land, part of his kingdom, for his own special entertainment. And anyone, he said, he made this a law, anyone who would dare to trespass on this land would be put to death. No one dared set foot on that land. But two of his sons, who thought, and reasonably so, that they would be an exception to the rule because they are his sons, did not hesitate to enter that piece of land. Well, the tyrant, soon enough, he found out what was going on, and he ordered his sons, both of them, to be cast into prison and to be executed the following morning. No one stood up to the emperor. No one spoke up for the two sons until two dignitaries, two higher-ups in the kingdom, reminded the emperor that, well, emperor, you only have two sons. If you kill them both, there is no one to rule this kingdom after you. Muhammad answered cruelly once more, well, I need only one successor. Let one of the two lose his head, so that all of my subjects know that they must respect my laws. And right away, the emperor had three tables placed in the main hall of his palace. On the first table, it was covered with a magnificent rug, and on top of it lay a crown and a scepter. And on a second table, covered with a black cloth, there lay a sword that would be the cause of death to one of the two sons. And there was a third table there, upon which lay a dice. The king, the emperor, surrounded now by his whole court, went to his throne and sat down and ordered his sons to come in. He said to them, by the transgression of my command, you have both deserved death. Yet, so that after my death the empire may not be without a ruler, one of you shall wear the crown and rule Turkey, but the other shall have his head struck off with this sword. Then he instructed them what they were to do. Cast the dice to see which one of you gets the crown and which one of you loses your head. Place yourself, just for a moment, in those two young men's position. How their hearts must have throbbed and almost come out of their chest as they picked up those fatal dice to cast and meet their lot. Depending how the dice landed, they would either get an empire or they would get death. It was as simple as that. They were terrified. Well, even you and I, when we're hearing this story, are a bit filled with maybe not fear, but disturbance at such a thought. Because for these two young men, there was for them one good end or one bad end, and they knew not which was for them. But there is before us all, you see, every one of us, either an everlasting happiness or an everlasting misery. Not a single one of us here today in these pews will make it out of this world alive. In a few years, these pews might be filled still, but not with you, not with any of your children here, and not with me in the pulpit. We'll be a new group of faithful Catholics. We will have all gone into eternity. And one of those two places will be ours for all eternity, the place of happiness or the place of misery. But it must be known to all that your salvation does not depend on chance, as did the life and the death of the two princes. It is not chance. You end up in that place that you have built for yourself. If you've lived a virtuous life, you will have eternal happiness. God has, in this life, given us everything that we need to save our souls. Think of it. All of the natural gifts that He has given you, and all of the supernatural gifts as well, the sacraments, the true faith, the sacramentals, and you name it, there is so much that He's done. But above all of the things that He has given, perhaps one that shows just how much God wants us to be saved is the fact that we have Mary as our mother. We must say with the boldest confidence that Mary is there to protect us. She is there, sent by God, to ensure for us the crown and scepter of glory if we choose to love and honor her. If we fail to do that, well, then we failed in life. You can count on it. But if you hold tight to devotion to Mary, you'll make it. One way or another, you'll make it. It is the teaching of the Holy Fathers and of theologians that devotion to Mary, you've heard it many times from this pulpit, is a certain sign of predestination, a certain sign that you will go to heaven. Now, there's always the fear that we might not be devout to Our Lady. We might give it up at some point in our life. So there's not a certainty of salvation in that sense, in the Protestant sense. But if we're faithful to Our Lady, then we will certainly go to heaven. St. Louis de Montfort, whose feast is coming up this week, said, "I have no better way of knowing if a man is for God than if he likes to say the Hail Mary and the Rosary." And then Pope Pius IX, the Vicar of Christ on earth, said, "O Mother of perpetual help, confidence in Thee is a certain pledge of everlasting salvation." And then St. Catherine of Siena, a great mystic whose feast is also coming up on the 30th of this month, said, "No one, not even a sinner, who devoutly recommends himself to Mary shall ever become the prey of hell." What beautiful thoughts of the saints. This consoling teaching is based not upon some lady's pious emotions or pious sentiments. This is the truth of our faith, based upon the fact and the reality of Mary's power and goodness. Mary saves whom she wills, when she wills it. Read any chapter in the Glories of Mary to find out how many servants of hers she has saved. Read it. Read any book on Our Lady. You'll always see the same thing: the power of Our Lady's intercession for souls that need it. This is a confirmed fact. God obeyed Joshua. Remember the story in the Old Testament? Joshua was fighting a battle. And he realized at one point late in the day, if only I had more time in this day, I would defeat the enemy. But now that darkness is coming, I may lose the battle. And he begged God to give him more time. And God obeyed Joshua. The sun stood in the sky for another day without ever going down. And Joshua was victorious. Or God, too, daily obeys the priests of his church. When at their command, he comes down from heaven to our altars, and then from the altar to your souls in Holy Communion. How obedient he is to his friends. And then whenever the saints of heaven pray to him, our Lord showers the world with graces. If this is the case, let's just draw it to the logical conclusion. If this is the case, that God listens to his friends, even his priests, who still have sins in their lives, then no prayer of Mary on behalf of her servant will ever, ever be denied. This is a fact. One author says, "Heaven shall fall and earth shall return to nothingness before he shall say to Mary, 'I cannot hear thee. I will not grant thy request.'" St. Anthony of Padua says, Jesus is not only bound to love, but also to obey Mary. And another great writer said, even if all the angels and saints of heaven asked for our damnation, which is impossible, but even if they did, and Mary alone were to ask for our salvation, we even then would be safe. This is certain, and bears no contradiction. Now, the fact that God has given us Mary is proof positive that he wishes only for our salvation. God is not some cruel being like some of the pagan gods that you read about with lightning bolts and thunder and ready to strike you dead. God in this life, in our life now, shows more mercy than justice. And that is something to always remember. The fact that he came down from heaven to earth simply to die on a cross shows the mercy of God's sacred heart. It shows that he did not come to damn us to hell. He came to bring us to heaven. That is the purpose. And that is God. When we look at him as some severe creature, yes, he is just. But part of justice is to take all things into account, our weaknesses, and to mete out punishment, taking all that into account. God is merciful, and we cannot look at him as some tyrant, such as Muhammad, who is ready to kill his two sons. But we count on God's mercy in this life, never abusing it, but using it well. Let any of us here today be steeped in the sins of impurity or of despair or of presumption or any other sin. Let your soul be filled with it. There is still hope as long as that sinner turns with sincerity to Our Lady. I end with a quote of St. Bonaventure. He says, "Let us cling to her. Let us not depart until we merit to be blessed by her. The perils are great, manifold, and constant. Our weakness is sufficiently known to us. Still, let us fear not. We have a mother who loves us tenderly and who by a single look can put to flight all our enemies and change our weaknesses into supernatural strengths. Let us cling to her with a childlike and unbounded confidence, but let us remain faithful to her service, and heaven is secured to us." So to conclude, the purpose of this sermon is very clear. May is coming. And you know, our whole life is a series of falls and then reformations. We're constantly finding that we fall into the same sins and we have to get up and reform ourselves again. That is the story of our life. Constant reformation of soul, even when it comes to devotion to Our Lady. How many times we start out fervently, rosary in hand, or the Angelus three times a day, or the imitation of her virtues. And gradually, because of our weak human nature, we just sort of fall away from it. Well, now May is coming. It's a time to reform. It's a time to practice devotion to Our Lady and to pray for perseverance in it. And remember that as long as we hold on to her all our life long, then we shall have our certain sign of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.